Namaste, listeners. This is Sarah Nash as your host, and you're listening to Radio Namaste on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, bringing you enlightenment the blue-collar goddess way. Hey, if you have an extra 30 seconds, remember to hit me up on our Twitter at Radio Namaste with hashtag blue-collar goddess. You'll get the opportunity to be in the drawing for a free one-hour Skype session. I'm going to put all of those love notes in a hat. Moderator Zen Master Ted is going to snag one out, and we'll announce the winner each month on our Facebook page. So hashtag that blue collar goddess to at Radio Namaste and get in the hat. However, if you have plenty of time to Twitter and tweet and you aspire to become the next social media rock star, you'll want to follow through with tweeting about Vito Mucci's book, Coffee for Consciousness 101. If you want a copy of your own, you can win one in our CFC 101 Twitter contest by tweeting the hashtag CFC101 to our Twitter at Radio Namaste. Remember that Namaste is spelled with an H too, by the way, and it's more than just a word. Past episodes of Radio Namaste can be accessed on our Podbean account and at Body, Mind, Spirit Radio's iTunes account. And some of the more recent episodes have offers for books, complimentary psychic readings, and opportunities to get involved with the Father Mulcahy Award and the Namaste Award. Think, both sides of the force, the light side, the dark side. I'm really surprised that more of you aren't creating a traffic jam in my mailbox, by the way, to get your hands on a karma violation ticket book from the Good Karma Factory. Think holiday stocking stuff or holiday gifts, card inserts, and, things just to make people contemplate their actions. Speaking of, it's my publicist's birthday today. Mary Elizabeth Barry of Barry Inc. taught me that Oprah was right. Luck is a matter of preparation meeting opportunity. This remarkable woman, my BFF, Mary Elizabeth, has weathered not just a few storms with me, and in spite of her hummingbird on crack tendencies, she tolerates my equally infuriating inability to focus by gently reminding me that I'm supposed to deliver the world from wickedness and teach people how to protect themselves from chaos magicians and evil overlords. She keeps telling me to tell you about me, in spite of my insistence that everything my listeners will need to know is on my website. You go to my website a lot, right? Namaste.com. It's namaste with an H.com. I trademarked my communication style as a cosmic evangelist. It's called Cosmic Triage, because I work with your personal emotional matrix while you're in a crisis or spiritually wounded. I will set your broken heart. I will prescribe motivation. I will authenticate you and validate you. And then I'm going to send you on your way when you're stabilized. I'm going to say, behold, you are healed. Go forth and prosper. It's going to be up to you to decide if you want to be happy. I mean, most people are about as happy as they want to be. I tell all of my clients before, during, and after the treatment, if you become wildly successful and all your world is brilliant, that's your fault. If you don't, well, that's your fault too. I'm not a fortune teller. I'm a clairvoyant and an extreme empath. I am intuitive spiritual life coach, certified by both professional and divine programs. I have spent years honing my gifts so I could be of better service to you. Don't ask me if you're pregnant, who's going to win the Super Bowl, or if you're going to win the lottery. Ask me questions about your life plan, your relationships, and more. You know, I've been talking to the other side for as long as I can recall, ever since I was a little girl. And my personal life path has blessed me with the ability to have compassion and a deeper comprehension of what you're experiencing and what you could probably experience in the future. Nearly 15 years ago, 15 years ago, I founded the White Light Express. It's a worldwide faith healing and prayer network because I believe with all my heart in the power of positive focused intention. And I don't want you to feel like you're ever alone. So you can find me at whitelightexpress.com too. I'm going to be teaching a few workshops in 2016. I'll be discussing the first book in my Cosmic Triage series. It's called Practical Parables. We're working actually on the subtitle right now. It's tentative. We're thinking like stories for other people because you're all right and the world is all wrong. Speaking of stories, the story that I read last week, Still Swinging in Wonderland, it's an autobiography by today's guest, Elizabeth White Herring. In fact, you know what? I'm just going to read the back of the book real quickly before I introduce her. And it really was. It was a pleasure to interview her. And with a little luck and lots of preparation, I hope to visit with her next year on her 90th birthday for a live video on the Radio Namaste Roadshows. But here's what the back of her book says. Elizabeth Bunny Herring was born in St. Louis to a socially prominent family whose ancestry reaches back to the Chouteaus, or Chateaus, who helped found St. Louis. She was educated in a private girls' school and an Eastern boarding school. A beautiful young woman, by the way, she's still beautiful. She's a beautiful older woman. She had a hunger for immersing herself in experiencing life. She studied ballet in New York City. Then she ran off to join the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus as a dancer and an elephant and horse rider. Then she left the circus to marry a cowboy. She became a nurse, and she experienced a life of challenges, sorrows, and wonder. In this account of breaking personal boundaries to savor unfamiliar worlds, Elizabeth offers an example of the joys and costs of seeking to live a life as tattooed around her ankle. Now, I'm not going to read what it says in Latin because I'll probably butcher it, but the translation is to be rather than to seem. To be rather than to seem. I want that tattoo. Well, thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the show. And when you're done, head outside. The sky is falling. The Orionid meteor shower ends tonight. This came from a PC Miller, and I'm just going to read this. PC Miller says, I believe it's PC Miller. Let me double check that. Let me take a look at this real quickly.
She's one of my boarding school friends.
Right. She says, I went to high school with Bunny, where she was very popular, charismatic, fun, a leader, and very much her own person. I lived in New York after graduation, and I'd see her when she would come to town with the circus. Once she married, we didn't get to see each other until our 50th reunion, but she was totally unchanged, and I felt as if no years had passed since we'd last seen each other. Her book is totally honest, and she really did live it her way, which couldn't have been easy, as she had to buck the society she was born into. She weathered huge obstacles and sorrows, but she never lost the essence of Bunny, which was to face problems, put family first, help others, and to be true to yourself. For everyone who is not quite in sync with their parents' way of life, Bunny's book will show you how it can be done with compromise and understanding.
Well, she's very generous.
Well, I think she's also very true. Well, you were born in St. Louis, and to a very socially prominent family, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And yes. they'd been around St. Louis for quite a few years.
Oh yes, it's a very old family descended from the Chouteaus who founded St. Louis.
And then you went to a private boarding school.
Yes.
When you think back in your world, what was the number one thing that you went, you know what? I don't know if I can do this or not.
I knew that my parents would not like this, but I thought that probably everyone else would. And it was just something I wanted to do so very, very much. And I knew that it wouldn't be anything, that would be in any way damaging to me. Mm-hmm. I knew I would learn a lot and meet all different kinds of people, and that it would just make my life that much richer.
There was something very interesting in your book when you talked about when you were getting ready to go, because you joined the Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus in the 1940s.
Yes, I did. And my father sent my mother to New York when he heard I'd signed the contract. He sent my mother to New York to try to bring me home. He was very, very upset, and he never came to see me in the circus, ever.
Will anybody else in your family come to see you?
Oh, yeah, not everyone else did. My grandparents especially thought it was wonderful.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, at the end of one of the seasons, you went back to St. Louis to be with your family.
Well, after I was after I went to Sarasota and reopened in New York and Boston, I had promised my family I would leave the circus then before it went under canvas, and that I would come back to St. Louis and make my debut. So that was the bargain I'd made with them when they let me finally go. So I had to come back to St. Louis, and that summer we went out to a ranch in Wyoming. That's when I met my husband, the cowboy, at a bar in in a little town in Wyoming. I met him that summer. But then that fall, I had to come back to St. Louis and make my debut, go to lots and lots of parties and luncheons. And it was very gala, but it was very boring. It was very boring after being in the circus. The people, you know, were.
Yeah, I can only imagine. You went from being a trapeze artist to being a clown.
I didn't learn the trapeze till I was 80. In the circus, I was an elephant rider and a horse rider and dancer, so-called dancer.
What was the most dangerous thing that you had to face while being in the circus, besides the anger of your father?
Well, the most dangerous thing, I guess. Do you mean in an act that I did? That was when the elephant put her foot in my face. That was very dangerous. And I guess the other danger was, I don't quite know how to say it, but things that my parents feared about some of the men that I would be meeting. And because we were ballet girls, you know, they thought that we were sort of girls that would go out and do things, you know.
Well, yeah, there was the whole virtue thing. They were afraid, yeah, that you weren't going to be terribly virtuous, or that your virtue would be compromised to some degree.
Yes, that's what my parents were feared of. But I actually, probably I was the only of 60 girls amongst the dancers, the ballet girls. I was probably the only one that was a virgin. And so, of course, that interested the men a lot more than anything else about me.
Well, I can only imagine. It's a good thing you didn't run into any vampires.
But actually, everyone was really nice and respectful to me. And as far as the men went, they pretty soon got the idea that something on my background and the, you know, that I was going to behave pretty much like a lady.
You met your husband while you were working in the circus, correct?
Yes, I met him that summer in Wyoming in a little western town out there, a little sort of ghost town, which was near the very beautiful dude ranch that we stayed in. And I just happened to go with a couple of the friends from the ranch, the only two older girls my age, we were 18, 19, into this little western town that had board sidewalks and swinging doors, and it had three saloons, one beat-up hotel, and a little tiny grocery store. That was what Encampment Wyoming was like.
So you lived, basically, you went from being in a circus to a dude ranch.
Yes.
How did your parents feel about that, Bunny?
I didn't hear that, Sarah.
I said, how did your parents feel about you going from a circus, from being a circus entertainer to marrying a cowboy?
Oh, I think they thought, well, especially after they met my husband, he was very attractive and charming and straightforward, and, you know, everyone liked him right away. And I think actually they thought anything was better than my being in the circus.
Well, probably. And not only that, it didn't, was Sweet around you. His name was Sweet, correct?
Yes.
I wanted to make sure that I was pronouncing his name correctly, because I didn't know if it was like Sweetie or Swede.
His real name was Skyler, and everyone called him Swede because he had grown up in a kind of lumber camp where there were a lot of Swedish men, families, and he looked like a Swede. He had blonde hair, and everyone started calling him a Swede.
Aw. Well, you went to go live in San Luis Obispo. I'm very fond of San
Timber.
Luis Obispo. I used to live in Cambria and in Big Sur for a little while.
Okay, dear. I am having trouble understanding you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's because I'm very deaf. I can hear you loudly, but it's not always very clear.
Well, that's okay. I'm deaf too. So you and I have that going on together. We could just sit here and say, what? What?
Okay, Sarah, you're a very good sport.
Well, it takes one to know one. I'm absolutely thrilled about your book here. I want to tell people that they can go to the website and they can get Still Swinging in Wonderland. And I was kind of
Yes.
hoping that we could kind of talk about some of the more inspiring moments. What were the moments where you just kind of sat back and thought to yourself, I can't do this anymore, and yet you picked yourself back up and you started moving forward?
I think just first joining the circus and how that all happened, and actually going down and meeting all the circus people in Sarasota. That was a very, very wonderful moment in my life. And then just being in that show it was so wonderful. I would have, instead of being paid, I would have paid to be in it. It was so wonderful and magical. And then I guess the next moments that are the greatest was when I decided, when I met my husband and knew that I would probably end up marrying him. And then when we finally did get married, that was a very wonderful thing because everyone that met him loved him. And I was very, very happy with him. And we had a wonderful time when we lived in Wyoming, kind of a wild time, but a lot of fun with three or four other couples out there. And then when we moved to the farm in Missouri, that was also wonderful because we could have our horses, and that's when I started fox hunting, and we trained our horses, and then I had three of my children in Wyoming, and then the last one was born when we moved to Missouri. And of course, the children, I wasn't really prepared to be a mother, but Swede was a very good father, and I think he kind of guided me. And we had so much fun. We loved our children so much. And that was wonderful. And then I think, well, there were difficult things like when my son was killed, and then my drinking problem. Those were the really, really bad things that happened. And I guess one of the other highlights of my life was after I started being a volunteer in the men's prison, and we did Shakespeare in the prison, and I got to act in the plays with the men, and I got to know those men and see them learn Shakespeare, see how it changed them, how they developed self-esteem, and how they got to know, understand Shakespeare and be able to get on the stage and act. They were changed completely. And I think being a part of that was a very, very moving experience in my life. Very wonderful experience, knowing the people and getting to be in the plays. And next wonderful things would be when I started having grandchildren.
Oh.
And that's a very, very amazing, wonderful experience. So romance, marriage, being a volunteer in prison, and having grandchildren were some of the highlights of things I was very fortunate to experience.
What are some of the more memorable people that you've associated with or met? Did you associate perhaps with any celebrities or, and you know what, knowing you, Bunny, now that I feel as though I'm getting to know you a little bit better, I would think that each one of those people that you acted with and you worked with, all of those people are probably just as important to you as any celebrity. But can you think of any one person or a few people that are pretty notorious?
Do you mean of people I've met in the circus?
Yes.
Notorious, I guess. They had a lot of gamblers on the circus that would go down when the trains were leaving. They would go down and have poker games and so on with the men after they all got paid, the working men. And these gamblers would go down and play cards and gamble with them, I guess, because they had money on their payday. I got to know one of those.
So any celebrities that, and besides the gamblers and the heavy duty, can you think of any specific person that, when I say notorious, I mean perhaps somebody like maybe, I don't know, one of the movie stars back in the day, in the 40s and the 50s.
Well, I guess, you do know that I did have a date with Marlon Brando. That's that everyone thinks that's the most wonderful thing in my book.
Well, I wanted you to talk about that.
Everyone goes, they don't care about elephant's feet in my face or hanging from trapezes or anything. They just think that a date with Marlon Brando is is just the highlight of everything. So,
well, I don't think so.
That was in New York and at a party at our hotel while the circus was there. And one of my circus girl friends had gone to the party. And then he asked me out. Next night at the party, we talked, and he said, "Well, he wasn't famous. He was in a play on Broadway, and he was very, very handsome, but he was not well known or anything." And so I did go out with him in the evening, and then the next day we went out for a while, and then I never saw him again because the circus moved away. I don't know. We didn't think of writing to each other, but I think he was the most famous person I ever met. And the other person that I was so enthralled to meet was one time on the train when we were out in the platforms while the train was moving, and I went outside, and one of the Walendas, the famous Walendas, and I recognized her, of course. She's very glamorous and famous, and she started talking to me, and she said to me, "I know exactly what you must feel being in this show and on this train the first time." She said, I'm sure it's so overwhelming." And I said, "Yes, and meeting you also." And she said, "Well, I'm telling you right now, if you stay around for a couple of years, you will never ever want to leave the circus." She said, "I'm warning you right now, it will get in your blood so quickly, and there's no other life like it. I'm just really warning you that you will never get over it."
And you never did.
In the way. Yeah, I think it's true because I think of it all the time, and I often dream that I'm on the circus train and or going in for the show. You know, it's always there in my mind, in my heart. always.
So you actually, so you worked with the elephants then when you were in the circus. You didn't actually do the trapeze then until you were had actually left the circus.
This is very curious because that was one promise my family made me promise not to do aerial work. I don't know why they thought elephants were safer, but promised them I wouldn't do aerial work. So when my 80th birthday came, we decided to have a circus party down at where there's a circus school, City Museum. And so I was arranging that, and the person, Jessica Hentoff, who runs the circus school, said, well, you need to do an act. And I said, well, I'm an elephant and horse rider. And she said, well, we cannot have an elephant or a horse at the City Museum, so you have to learn a trapeze act. So that's how I learned the trapeze act. And it's curious because it was the one thing I had promised my parents not to do. But I figured they would have understood.
So. You know, I think this is very interesting because nobody knows why they nicknamed you Bunny.
No. You know, it was a very popular name in those days. There were even some men named Bunny. And my mother was called Beth. She was Elizabeth, called Beth, and they didn't want that for me. And I don't think they liked Liz. So they just came up with Bunny.
I think that's very interesting. You should have been a rebel bunny.
Which I've always hated that name because it's so, you know, like Playboy Bunny or Cuddly or Cutesy. I just always disliked the name.
Well, why didn't you change it?
But everyone, when I tell them I'm Elizabeth, that's great. But then as soon as they find out I have a nickname, they quickly change to Bunny. So there I am.
Elizabeth, why didn't you change your nickname?
Myself? To
yes.
Something I liked?
Yes.
I should have. Actually, I wanted to be called Pearl. I had a great, great grandfather who was very famous in New Orleans, and his name was Pearl White. And I thought that was just the most wonderful name.
I think it's wonderful too. Well, your birthday is this weekend, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's October 24th, is that right?
Oh, it's the 26th.
The 26th, okay, okay.
Yeah. I thought I was going to be 90. And I got all excited about it, but my daughter said, oh, no, you're just 89. Yeah, I thought because if I'm 90, I have to have a huge party.
You're going to have a huge party next year. This is just going to be the dress rehearsal. I said, this is just the dress rehearsal party for your 90th birthday party for next year.
Yes. Well, I hope I can still do the trapeze next year.
Are you serious? You still do that?
Well, I'm doing it right now. I'm 89, so I think it would be very inspiring. Everyone thinks it's very inspiring.
Well, what do you think?
I think it's funny.
Okay, this is what we're going to do, Elizabeth. For your 89th birthday, you need to tell everyone that you will no longer wish to be called Bunny. You wish to be called Pearl.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So have them listen.
Oh, my gosh, that's a wonderful idea.
I think it's a fabulous idea. And I think I'm going to update all of the paperwork and everything that I have for the show, the radio show. And I'm going to say, okay, we're not interviewing whoever this Elizabeth Bunny Herring is. We are Elizabeth. We are interviewing the fabulous Pearl.
Well, it's such a great, I like the name Pearl. It's very corny, but I kind of like it.
I like it too.
And I think, And it goes with white, pearl white, you know.
Yeah, I think it's kind of ironic and kind of fun. And it makes people sit back and think, you know, wow, this
and,
is.
And if they laugh about the name, I'll just tell them my great-great-grandfather was very famous, Pearl White, in New Orleans. So they can laugh all they want.
And you can say, listen, it's amazing how much you can learn about a person by announcing that you're going horseback riding in India.
Yes, yes, it's true, because people were like, oh, why would you ever want to go to India? Poverty, all that, and on a horse thing. And other people would say, oh my gosh, that sounds so wonderful, you know, just to be there and to be on a horse and on the desert. Some people, they had such opposite reactions, people did. I'll tell you, Sarah, it's like people and tattoos. You can tell so much about a person of what they say about your tattoo. When people know I have a tattoo, some are just horrified, and others say, oh, that's such a wonderful thing, you know? Different, completely different reactions.
Where's your tattoo? It's around your ankle, right?
Yes, my boarding school motto is around my ankle. And the other ankle has a crescent moon and a star. And on the back of my neck is a rose, because someone I loved used to call me Rose. I have one other that's a sun, but that's in a more private place.
Well, that's an intimate tattoo. We shall never speak of it again.
When my son saw my ankle and saw the tattoo through my stocking at church, he said to me, oh my God, that's horrible. He said, only one kind of woman gets a tattoo. That shows how up to date he is.
And who is this, your son?
Yes, my son is also Skyler. He's always been on the farm up in the country, you know, so he's a little bit of a redneck.
That's so funny.
The guys he hangs out with and, you know, their beer drinking and stuff. And their attitudes toward women and toward guns are definitely redneck attitudes.
Well, has he spent any time in India and Africa?
Has he?
Yeah.
He went to Africa with me. Yes, where we rode horses in Africa. He had a wonderful time. He was a great favorite with all the guys who ran our camp. He was a great hero to all them, and he had a wonderful time there.
How old was he when that happened?
Oh, when we did that, he must have been in his 30s, maybe. Yeah, I think it was about 20 years ago.
Oh, my word. You went to Africa, and you went to India. Where else have you been?
South Africa, India, Scandinavia, all over Europe. I don't know. My favorite places were India and Africa. That was when we were on the train. I think it's so terribly poignant and appealing, because the country itself is so magnificently beautiful, but yet the whole, you know, apartheid and all the racial troubles, it's very painful and tragic. In contrast to all the beauty that's there, I don't know, it just stands out to me for that contrast.
We're going to take a small break, pay the bills, and return to our interview with the fabulous Elizabeth, formerly known as Bunny, now Pearl Herring.
Radio Namaste is brought to you in part by Alchemy Stones. Alchemy Stones are completely hand-painted beach stones that combine the blend of art, sacred geometry, and metaphysics, making them not only healing tools and personal talismans, but also unique gifts for almost any occasion. What makes alchemy stones so special? Humans have been collecting and keeping rocks for luck as talismans and mystical power objects for millennia. They've also been painting and decorating on stone for almost as long. The intricate patterns and colors on alchemy stones are inspired by nature, sacred geometry, and tribal designs, and are carefully matched to the shape and size of each beach-gathered stone to create a beautiful high-vibration work of art. But don't take my word for it. To learn more about alchemy stones and to choose your own personal stone, visit our website at www.alchemystone.com. Alchemy Stones, a unique high-consciousness gift for any occasion. Again, visit us at www.alchemystone.com.
Radio Namaste will occasionally present what we like to call the Father Mulcahy Award to those who have displayed thoughtlessness, a lack of mindfulness, or just downright selfishness. With the official Karma Violation Ticket Book, you can let friends, family, coworkers, even celebrities and politicians know they did a no-no. Just fill out a citation, slip it under a door, slap it on a windshield, or mail it. Express your feelings and opinions, and help set the record straight. Join the Karma Police at thegoodkarmafactory.com and uphold the laws of the universe. Hashtag Karma Police in a tweet to @RadioNamaste, and you'll be in a drawing to win your own Karma Violation Ticket Book. Thanks to the awesome people at thegoodkarmafactory.com. Oh, you know what? I don't want to call you Bunny anymore. I'm going to call you Pearl. Pearl, I'm reading here on page 134 in your book. It says, It is horrible to hate yourself and be unable to control your actions. It is a special kind of hell. I know that I was making my family unhappy and worried. I can't remember how long the drinking continued. Again, my family didn't intervene. Maybe they didn't know how to go about it. I had reached bottom again, and I knew it.
Besides death, that was the most painful, horrible, terrifying thing to be so in the any alcoholic now, to be so out of control and to be damaging yourself and everyone else and unable to stop. It's just an agonizing thing. I guess any addiction is like that. But I don't know. Yes, that was extremely, extremely bad. So,
but then you became sober for about 10 years.
Sarah's parents and children have both been very tolerant of me.
You went to Argentina. You found your strength. You became sober, and then you went to Argentina, correct? And you saw somebody, an old friend, at a table. And so, after 10 years of sobriety, you went and had a glass of wine with her. But your granddaughter said, "You know what, Grandma? At 80 years old, you can kind of do what you want."
So I pretty much do, Sarah. Yes.
Do you smoke?
Smoke, yes. Well, I start and stop.
Oh, how long have you been doing that?
I know.
Oh, I don't care. I smoke too. Smoking. So how long have you been doing that?
Smoking?
Uh-huh.
You know, I started smoking when I was a nurse. Is that not weird?
No, that's not weird at all. Stressful.
All the nurses smoke because they're so stressed out. I mean, this is, quite a while ago. I don't know if they do now.
But probably not.
They all did then. And I started, actually, no, I started when I was about 14, when we were in East Hampton for the summer. And I was with much older kids, and we worked with the theater groups there in East Hampton, and everyone drank and smoked then. So I thought, I'll join the crowd.
It's very glamorous.
So that's when I first started smoking and really drinking a lot. And Then I stopped for years smoking, and then I started up again, oh, I don't know, a few weeks ago, because things were just getting very stressful in my life.
A few weeks ago? Did you say a few weeks ago, Pearl?
Did I what?
Did you say you just started smoking a few weeks ago?
Again.
Yes.
I'd given it up for a couple of years, and then I started again. So I'll probably give it up again, and then I'll start again. But also, having dinner with a very good friend, I said, this is when before I started, same thing. I said, oh, Liz, I really see that person smoking. I really want a cigarette. And she said, well, why the hell don't you have one at your age? What difference does it make? She said, if you like something at your age, just go ahead and do it. So,
well, I think there's
my granddaughter. That was an old lady talking, and the granddaughter was young, so there's two opinions
from both ends of the string. So what are you doing for your birthday this year? It's coming up next week.
I don't think anything exciting. I think what I'd really like is go up to the farm and have a big nice dinner out with my son and my daughter. That will just be wonderful.
I hope you have that opportunity to do that.
And then next year, I'll save up for next year and then have a really big party.
Yeah, you can swing from the chandelier.
On my 90th birthday, I'll just drink and smoke as much as I want.
I want to drink and smoke with you.
Well, then you have to come to St. Louis on my 90th birthday.
And that's going to be next year. And I was planning on being out there anyways, because Mary Elizabeth Barry.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, then
yes.
I have to keep doing the trapeze so I don't disappoint you.
Okay. I can't wait.
If I do that, I'm going to get the most glamorous costume you can imagine. Because I just have two trapeze costumes. One's Catwoman and one's very beautiful, the fine red kind of leotard deal.
That's the one that's on the cover of your book.
So for my 90th birthday, I'm going to get a very sexy, spangly, revealing trapeze costume. It's going to be really something. I'll start planning that now.
Okay, I think you should. I can't wait for that. I'm really excited about that. And don't forget to tell everybody on your birthday that you are changing your nickname to Pearl, and you will only answer to Pearl.
That's on my 90th birthday, right?
No, you have to do that next week. Everybody, by your 90th birthday, everybody will have to call you Pearl.
Oh, I have to do it on this birthday?
Yes. Well, that way by next year, everybody will have it dialed in. See? Elizabeth, it has been wonderful speaking with you today. I am going to let you.
So much fun, and you ask wonderful questions, dear.
Well, thank you so much. And
will you tell me if this is going to be broadcast and how to get it?
Absolutely. It is going to be broadcast on Thursday, October 22nd at 7:00 on Radio Namaste, which is on the Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And I'm going to definitely send you a link to that so that you can click on it. And all you have to do is sit there and have everybody listen with you.
Oh, how wonderful. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's just super. I guess I'll have to have a party for that too.
Oh, yes. I'm naming myself Pearl Party.
Okay, you'll send me the link, and thank you so much for your kindness and your humor and your wonderful questions, okay?
Oh, it has been wonderful.
Your interest, of course.
Well, thank you for your book. I love your book.
Oh, I'm so glad, sweetie. Well, the pictures are really good. My children say that it's really not the way I wrote it, really wasn't me, that I just told the events and I didn't have much feeling. But there it is. I just did what I could, Sarah. And I'll tell you, it's a very weird feeling writing a book about yourself, because you feel very, very vulnerable.
Well, you were very honest in your book.
It's a very weird feeling, I'm telling you.
I think you did a remarkable job.
It's a good story. It's a fun story.
It's a marvelous story. You're a marvelous story.
Okay.
Get working on that sexy outfit, honey.
All right. Oh, maybe I could get an elephant, have a party with an elephant for my 90th birthday.
You know, we need
that
to get some people involved on this.
Than the trapeze. Maybe I can rent an elephant and I can have it here outside my condo where there's a beautiful lawn and trees and stuff. That's a good idea. And I could still wear a dazzling costume.
I think so.
On the elephant.
I think so. I mean, I think your family should just rent you like a little. Well, we'll get on that. We'll get on that. And
thank you, Sarah dear, for all the wonderful things you are.
And likewise, Pearl.
All right.
Have a wonderful evening. Thank you for joining us on Radio Namaste. Right. Bye bye now.
Thank you, Sarah dear. Okay, bye, Sarah.